him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to speak to us today, to show us, to guide us, to counsel us, and all these various things. And when we sing the songs like we did this morning, especially in that second set, Goodness of God, Mighty to Save, Build My Life. Oftentimes in our lives, we don't take time to actually sit and ponder those things, to celebrate those things, to proclaim those things, because we have too many other things going on, too many other issues to deal with. And so I want to read from Psalm 71, starting at verse 14. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know it's not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Scripture commands us and tells us to proclaim of his goodness, of his work. One of the things that we do in our district, our Alberta district here, when we go to prayer retreat in November, is we do something that we call Make Much of Jesus. It's just a fancy name, and it needs some work. The name's a little bit long, but, you know, that's okay. It's all about telling the story of how God is at work in our lives. And so this morning, instead of me standing up here and talking to you, we're going to take some moments here to proclaim what Jesus is doing in our lives. And it's, for a pastor, I'll be honest with you, this is a terrifying thing to give a microphone open-ended to people. Cat. Right? At the district events, they have a two-minute timer because a room full of pastors, guess what happens? They talk a lot. Right. I'm not going to give you a timer, but we just want to hear what Jesus is doing in your world. So my girls are going to have microphones, Eliana and McKenna, and they're going to bring you a microphone if you put your hand up. And if nobody's hand goes up, we will sit here in awkward silence for a little bit. Kim already put her hand up, so that's great. So McKenna, Eliana, would you come grab? And McKenna, you can take this microphone. Go grab the one from Mom's. To Kim. Kim, if you could put your hand up again.
So I had told God this morning that if there was a sharing time, then I would share. And the singing ended, and I was like, okay, no sharing time. So this is kind of funny. So I was at work on Monday. I work at Amber's Hope Maternity Home. And we do a Bible study every morning. And one of the study questions was to share that. How has God been showing up in your life? What is some like concrete examples that you could share of God doing things in your life? And so one of the clients shared several really amazing, miraculous things of his provision. And I shared several things. It probably went on for maybe an hour of us just sharing, and then someone would share something, and we'd think of one more thing. Oh, and then this other time, right when I didn't know what to do, God just like, you know, someone walked up. This did happen to me once. Someone walked up to me when I'd been praying for his actual financial provision in a difficult period of life, and somebody walked up to me and pressed a check into my hand, and I opened it later, and it was, they said, don't open it now. And I opened it later. It was $800. Like, they, I had never even talked. I knew them, but I had not talked to them about my situation. So we were sharing all these examples. And then the next day, the landlord came. She comes once a month to drop off utility bills. They want them in their name. And so then I just pay the bill. And often I feel a lot of disapproval from her. And it's hard to get a smile from her. And so I always feel like I'm letting them down, but I just pray, like, Lord, just help me to really honor them and do my very best in the home. You know, you didn't put the lawnmower away yet, or, you let the weeds get ahead of you there, things like that. So I was kind of ready for maybe a criticism. And God has really blessed us. The house that we're living in is the same rent amount that you might pay for like a one-bedroom apartment, and we live on an acreage with four bedrooms and a huge yard. And God put us in this home, and we can afford it. And it's been over 5 years we've lived there with no rent increase. And I just often am a little nervous, like I'm sure it's going to go up soon. And then I just pray, thank you, Lord, that you'll provide even if it goes up. And she said, well, the next time you write the checks, there's going to be a change. And I'm like, oh boy, okay, we're ready. Thank you that you haven't raised the rent in 5 years, and lay it on me, I'm ready. And she said, it's going to go down $100 a month. And that just felt very timely, and just that he would, who does that? Nobody does that. No one's rent goes down. No one pays the amount that I'm already paying, never mind down $100 a month. And it was just another beautiful sign. The landlords are not even believers, but God uses anybody. And it was just a beautiful sign that God's got us. Always just keep walking with him in obedience. And boy, did I ever get a big smile from her when I said, like, first I couldn't believe it, and then I said, can I hug you? She's like, I said, do you do that? So she let me hug her, and oh, she just smiled all the way to her vehicle. So just wanted to share that.
That's awesome. Thank you. There's one back there, Eliana.
So I'm actually from the Barhead Church. But I've been house sitting over here for a while this summer, more than often. More, I'm almost starting to feel like their house is more my home than my own apartment in Barhead. But it's been up and down. They're actually a part of the old church that I left not too long ago, but a couple of years ago, maybe three now. Hard to keep track once you get the years passing by all of a sudden, but there's been a couple of things with leaving the old church and kind of getting established into the Alliance Church that the Lord has really started to put on my heart in the last year, and particularly in the last few months. I have always been part, even in my own family, where I, from day one, I wanted to unify family, I wanted to fix things, help wherever I could. No, I was the type of person, I've always been the type of person where I feel like I've probably over-sacrificed myself in order to try and make things work. And the Lord has finally just said to me, you know, because right now I'm waiting on what's next. And one of the things that he's been impressing on my heart lately is, will you just slow down and learn to enjoy the waiting period? Like, still work on what you need to work on to prepare yourself and do what I'm asking you to do in the meantime, but just also just slow down and enjoy the actual waiting instead of going, oh, what's next, what's next, what's next, what are I going to do now? And I think I'm still struggling with that, but I'm slowly kind of just trying to allow myself and teach myself to just breathe and say, okay, yeah, it is, it's okay to slow down, and it's okay to just enjoy the waiting period. And So the other thing that the Lord has taught me that I've had a hard time with for years, even in my old church, is how do you be joyful about the bad things in life? And I started getting that Angel app after I left the old church. And I watched a particular show, and sometimes I can just watch the same shows over and over and over again because it teaches me so much. And this one show has taught me, and it finally clicked for me, that what we need to do, or what I needed to do, was thank God for the hell of it. The literal hell that we go through, the suffering, the things that we don't understand, the questions we have, whatever it is that just bogs down our lives, that there is something powerful in thanking God for the literal hell that we feel like we're going through. And that almost seemed like even a shocking concept to one of my friends, and she says, well, why are you saying, you shouldn't say it like that, you should say it some other way. And I said, no, we really actually do need to, I said, at least I do, I need to learn how to thank God for the actual hell. Because if it weren't for those things, I wouldn't know what any of the good things really mean, or I would be taking for granted everything else in my life. So in order to actually understand how to enjoy the good things of life, we, or at least I, need to be so grateful for the things I don't understand and I don't like in my life. And I need to be grateful for even the things that, you know, I wouldn't want. But God is placing, and realizing that God is placing those things in my life for me to go through, because there's a reason for it. Even if I don't like what I think is the reason, if I don't like why it's happening, or I don't even understand at all why God would put that in my path to have to go through, I'm still learning that the best thing I can do, and that's just mind-blowing to me, to learn finally what it means to really thank God for the things, the bad things in life, in order to be truly grateful, to start learning what it means to be truly grateful for the good things in life. Yeah. And that has just been so mind-blowing to me, to learn these two concepts lately, to literally thank God for the hell of it, and to slow down and not solve problems faster than they can come in, and just enjoy the waiting, and yet still work on the construction that he's asking me to work on in the waiting period, so that I can prepare for what he really truly has next for me. And I just felt like I wanted to share those two concepts, that enjoy the waiting period, still work on what you need to while you're waiting, but enjoy that waiting period, slow down a little bit. And if there's things in life that are complicated, that one of the best things we can do is free ourselves from, in order, and it's been freeing, to just thank God for the hell of things.
Thank you. Appreciate that. McKenna, go to Kat.
Okay, I won't be long. We're supposed to be talking about the goodness of God. That's what I got from that. But I had a couple prayer requests, and God was just saying, you got to get these prayer requests out, and you didn't ask for a prayer request.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you how wonderful God has been. And I've been struggling really bad the last month. It's been a very hard struggle for me, but God reminded me this week that Even when I'm struggling, he's still working. And I wanted to tell you, I told you recently about my family that had all come to God. And I was talking to my sister this week, and she told me that her husband is not saved. But she said, you and your church got to pray for my husband. And they're doing a Helfa class on September the 6th in Peterborough, Ontario. And she's praying that he will go. So she said, for us as a church to pray that he will attend. So far, he said he got no interest in it, but she said we want him to go. Another praise that most of you know all my story, but I have my son that's a recovering drug addict, and his girlfriend is still a drug addict, and they have a child together. And this week, she decided that she wants to clean up her life. And my son got her a job in Ontario, and she's gone to work, and she's working in a job where they're doing drug tests a lot, so she's got to clean up her life. All of these things is the things that me and Mike has been praying for so long, and God is just moving in my family, and I just wanted to say that God taught me this week that even when I don't feel like he's around and I feel like I'm invisible, he's still working. He's still answering prayers. And yeah, I just wanted to share all that. So please remember Lindsay, my granddaughter's mother, in your prayer. And remember my brother-in-law, Vince, and that he'll come to God. But anyway, see, that wasn't long.
McKenna, right behind you. Turn around. There you go.
Thank you guys for sharing. So just to kind of touch on like where God's been working in my life, I just wanted to share that, you know, growing up for myself personally, I always had that foundation brought in from my family. My father, my grandfather was a reverend and, you know, was an active part and influence in my life. And as the years went by, I, of course, strayed away from my faith. But I never, you know, stopped believing, but just wanted to speak to kind of like what you were sharing. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, but, sorry?
Amy.
Thank you so much for sharing, because that was so beautiful. Because it goes to show, you know, you can go through so many different hurdles, so many different challenges and tests and trials throughout your life, but at the same time, if you were to sit and just, you know, reflect as to where you're seeing God's fingerprints, it really does give you that sort of comfort and peace, especially with what you had to share. So I really, really echo what you shared, so thank you. Just to go to share, you know, the work that God has put into my life and the blessings that he has provided me with my daughter, if anything, she leads me to wanting to be a better person for myself as well as an example for her, and it has led me back to God and deep into my faith, and it's led now to a two-year journey that I will be taking starting September 15th for apprenticeship in ministry, which I'm very excited to begin. And so, yeah, God's been working a lot of really great things in my life that I'm hoping to share more on and again, be that example, and because he is doing great works in all of our lives, no matter what trials that we're going through. Everybody is going to be going through a difficult season, but we can grow through it together. Not all of us are alone in it. God is working beautiful work. We just have to keep our faith and lean into him during those moments and remember the good work that he's doing. So.
Eliana, Ernie, thank you, Jennifer.
Sorry. Thank you. I'm not sure if it was last Sunday or a few Sundays back. Pastor Adam asked the question. He was challenging us on spending our day properly, if I might put it that way, or do we just get up in the morning? And I put my hand up. That's the way it is some days. Lots of days it's getting up, taking my meds and going back to bed. The week before was a real one of my toughest weeks. for pain. As you noticed last Sunday, I used a walker. That's for old guys, you know. And it was all I could do. And they say, well, how much is your pain on a scale of 1 to 10? I said it blew through the top. Anyway, on Monday, I went to my pain doctor, and I got my pain shot in the back. Then I went to Don Wicks for treatment to work out all the knots that had accumulated. And I had a whole week with no pain. And today I can almost walk normally. The other thing is that there's a song I hope I can talk Gina into doing with me. And it's called Still I Will Praise You. I don't remember all the words off by heart, but it's like when the cares of life are just too much, when I'm asked to drink the bitter cup, and it goes on, and the chorus says, but still I will praise you. So when our prayers are not answered, when we're on our deathbed, still I will praise you.
Thank you, Artie.
At first, I was thinking about how I was finding it hard to find where God has been recently, because 10 years ago, I graduated from high school, and in the October of that year, like of the 2015 to 2016, I was really going through a hard time, and then so that anniversary hit, and I was like, oh, it's been 10 years and I'm still around, I'm still kicking, that's good. But I was really feeling very depressed of the fact that it's been 10 years and I still have no relationship, I still am at a job that I'm not the biggest fan of, I'm not where I thought I'd be. But ironically, my friends came over that time and I was going to tell them about how depressed I was, how I wasn't doing well. Instead, my friend, not knowing that I was going through that, chose that day to propose to his now wife that I went to the wedding last week. And so I felt like I had to bury my feelings down, and I became the maid of honor for their wedding. And during that time, I was very depressed and trying so hard to be happy and not bring them down because I want to support my friend during that time. And every time she brought up the wedding, I felt more depressed, I felt more upset. It had nothing to do with her. She was just trying to get us in the, to make sure we were prepared for the wedding day. And it was not doing well with that, but, and it was really straining on our friendship on my end. Come to the bridal shower. I went to her bridal shower, and it was really great to see her. And I told her I was going through a little bit, but didn't go into much detail. She gave me a hug, and we were great. Month later, now we went to the, we were getting ready for the wedding, and all the way to like right before our trip, I was feeling like this has been very straining on our friendship. Come to getting to Saskatoon, and the travel was good, and we come to the bachelorette party, which I was also stressing about because I was supposed to plan it, and I did not know what to do because I've never gone to Saskatoon, and I just chose. I was like, let's do a chill day. Let's go get food, and then we'll figure out what to do afterwards. And so I just picked a chill day, and I was told by a friend of hers who joined us for the bachelorette party that she's like, you know what? I watched Talisa go through like being very stressed up to this point. A chill day was exactly what she needed. And so that was very encouraging that we went to Montana's, we did mini golfing, we went to the mall, and then we went to a park. Like, it was something that was not expected for a bachelorette party, but it was exactly what she needed. And it was exactly what I needed, of just that relaxation of just being with your friends. And the wedding day, we were so ready and so prepared, and everything was going so well that I honestly forgot everything that like was straining me through that entire year of dreading the wedding. That it was such an amazing thing of being around all my Christian friends that it reminded me that why I loved these people so much, because the entire wedding party was people from Pure BI that I met during my third year. And most of them were freshmen that year. And I got to do a maid of honor speech, and when I looked at them, I added a part that I didn't put in the speech, that I added to let them know that I met all of them and that they were big parts of my life and how much I love them. What surprised me afterwards was when the bride and groom were doing their thank you speeches, they thanked specifically the maid of honor, me, and the best man. And they were so encouraged by me always standing by them and always being supportive of them and how much they loved me. And considering how I was feeling so depressed and stuff, it felt really encouraging that they were impressed and happy that I was there to celebrate with them. And it reminded me how much I am loved, even if I didn't feel it. Because I felt like God hasn't really been around, and I felt like my friends had abandoned me. And so the fact that I was still being acknowledged and feel like that they still wanted me for their special day, and reminding me that they wanted me on their special day for the proposal. Like, it was at my house, it was at our kitchen table while eating McDonald's. Like, it was something so random, but the fact that these two amazing people wanted me there and God put them in my life just encouraged me. And even though I'm still single, I still want a relationship. The fact that it's just a reminder that just because I'm not in a romantic relationship doesn't mean that I'm not loved and not valued by family and friends was very encouraging to me. And it's been able to calm me. And so I've been actually more calm in this last week than I have been for a year. So I thought that was really awesome that God has done that for me.
Awesome. Thank you, Jocelyn.
So mine is kind of prayer request related, but also just sharing. So I've been really, really struggling with anxiety and depression lately. My family's been going through a lot. My daughter and her family have been uprooted and found themselves having to move out of their home that they have built a close-knit community and just a nice family home and that they love so much. And they found themselves having to move out of, and in a very quick, short period of time, and having to move and find a new home, and due to circumstances beyond their control, and they're frantically looking for a home and having to sell their home now and find a community again, and all trying to find a new school for the kids and everything in a short period of time. And I've been really stressed, and my daughter's been stressed, and I've been watching her go through all of this, and she's trying to get rid of stuff and downsize, and just in case they can't find a home that's, you know, big enough for them or whatever, because she doesn't know what God's going to bring into their life. And I've been just crying and praying and, you know, just really upset, you know, why God would do this to them, and just watching her go through all of this, and she keeps saying, you know, you don't know what God's got in store for us, and
it's just been really hard, and I got fibromyalgia, and I've been dealing with a lot in my body, and stress really activates it. And a friend of mine just recently got diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and she came to me and she said, you know, I didn't really realize what you're going through. I used to see the pain on your face, and she's like, I have a new appreciation for you. She's like, because I now that I have fibromyalgia, she's like, I didn't understand what you were going through until I actually got diagnosed with it. And she's like, I commend you. She's like, you're such a strong-willed person. And she's like, you know, I used to see your face all the time, and I just thought, oh, wow, you know, she's just down. She's just having a bad day. She's like, but wow, you know, the pain you must suffer. She's like, because it's an everyday thing. You're in pain every single day. And she's like, I'm so sorry. And she's like, you're such a strong person. She's like, I commend you. And so that kind of, you know, that lifted my spirits a bit. But just things that I've been going through, it's been really, really hard. And it's, I don't understand where God's been in it, but I still see God's grace and footprints in it a little bit. And day by day, I've been taking it little by little. And I injured my Achilles tendon in all of this too. And so I've been limping around, and I've been just overwhelmed with everything. But God's been taking me on a journey. And I reiterate what the sister said, you know, just take this slowly and learn to go through all of it, even in the hell of it. You know, I appreciate what she said, because that's where I'm at. I'm appreciating the highs and the lows of everything that I'm going through. And I can see God's hand in all of it. I don't know where we're going with everything, with what my daughter's going through, but I know that God has a hand in it. I know He's got a plan for my daughter's family, and I know He's got a plan for me. I feel alone, and I feel broken right now, very, very broken, but I still know that God's got a plan. And even when we're broken and we can't see through all the clouds, there is a rainbow on the other side. I know there is a rainbow on the other side, and I know that God's doing something. He's up to something, and there's going to be good that's going to come out of all of this, even though I can't see it right now. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing, Karina. Yeah. There's a couple more here. There's one here and one at the back. McKenna?
Hello. I just wanted to share the journey that I've been on in the last couple of years. I am learning a little bit of patience and gratitude through a lot of the challenges that I've experienced in the last couple of years. I started out, I worked at the Remand Center, and I hated working there, and I was praying for a new job, and a new job God created for me and moved me into it, and with the prayers of this church and my family, I was able to move into a job that suits me 100%. So I experienced a little bit of hardship, then I received from God. And then we'll go with another hardship. I was driving vehicles that constantly were breaking down on me while I was driving to and from the Remand Center an hour and a half each way. And it kind of wore me down, because in the winter it was too cold to break down. In the summer it was too hot and too many mosquitoes to break down. So I had a little bit of challenges there, and I prayed, and I got a new car. So there was the challenge, then the reward. Then I joined a prayer group here in this church, and one of my challenges with that was I didn't really have any friends, no godly friends. And when I joined the prayer group, one of my prayers from God was that I wanted to start building Christian, godly friendships, because I really don't know how to be a friend. So I've now created a circle of friends that God has given to me. I'm still learning how to be a friend, but I'm learning, and God gave it to me, so I have to grow on that end of it. So I had the challenge, and then I had the reward. Another challenge was my daughter's grade 12 year. Just recently, she's graduated against the enemy's opposition to have her fail. She actually graduated. So we had a hard, challenging year trying to get her to graduate, and the devil did not succeed. She graduated. I'm very thankful. I'm happy that she is entering a new era of her life. And then more recently, my husband was hurt. So we had a bull hurt my husband, and that was very challenging. But the reward is that, you know, he's healing, and we're working through the challenges that came with that. Other than that, let me see. Oh, there's just, I think that I'm learning gratitude, and God's trying to teach me patience. Without all these, the time periods that it took to get through the graduation, get through the grade 12, get through the remand center, get through the hardship of the bull, I've had to learn that nothing comes easily, and that we always have the challenges. The devil is always there trying to keep us down, and behind the scenes, God is always there trying to raise us up. So I'm learning gratitude and patience, and that's been my journey for the last 2 years, and I'm very thankful. Thank you.
Thanks, Serena. McKenna at the back, please. Thank you.
Okay, please bear with me. I'm having a lot of anxiety right now. So earlier this summer, something happened with my favorite cafe, and I ended up running out of the cafe crying because of what happened. I was waiting for transportation, and I was sitting on the bench playing with my phone, as I usually do, because it can be around 15, 20 minutes before my ride shows up. But out of nowhere, there was this lady that approached me, and she said, "I don't know what you're going through, but I'm praying for you," and just, "It's going to be okay." I didn't know this woman. There was no really other signs that I was upset, but I was feeling really down and alone, because this was a place that I used to go to for everything. I would go with friends. I had many important conversations there, and and then this random woman has no idea what's going on. And I'm praying for you. God put it on her heart to approach a random stranger in the street, not knowing what they're going through, and just pray for them. That is so, that blows my mind. Holy Spirit can work in different ways, and I'm really grateful for that lady, and I don't know if I'll ever see her again, but she did make a difference.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. God is at work all over the place, and we get to see glimpses of it in our own lives, in the lives of other people, and grateful to be a part of little parts of those stories that we get to see. One of our things that we pray about over the summer is Camp Nakaman, and we're so grateful for the work that happens there and the chaos, I'm going to say chaos, that happens there. We get to go this week, the family and I, and spend a week there with speaking to grades 1 to 6, and then spend a couple or an extra day there. And so far, as from what I've heard, there are 4 people being baptized. Workers, what? 8 now. There was 4 when I heard. And if you didn't catch that, he said 8 of us. Doesn't know how to choose his words carefully. Mom's crying now. Dad's tearing up. And that's been something that we've been able to sit at the front row and watch. And of our son figure out who Jesus is. And talk to others about who Jesus is. And through the muck and the ugly, through the hell of it, all these different phrases, we get to celebrate what God is doing. And it's such a privilege to be a part of any little part of that story. The $100. The praying for family. The learning to abide in God even in the midst of hard times and learn patience. The going through pain and experiencing relief from that. We get to see and experience all those things and more. And there's always more. So let's pray, and then the worship team will come up and lead us in a new song, or not a new song, another song. It is not new at all. But let's pray for God to show us where he's at work. Let's pray. God, you call us to proclaim your righteousness. You call us to proclaim where you're at work in our lives and in our world. And so as we've heard from a number of individuals today of seeing where you're at work in their lives, we thank you for that. And we know that the others in this room, many have experienced the same things. They've experienced you at work in their lives, and we recognize that. So God, as we finish our service today and as we go from here, God, I ask that you would continue to give us opportunity to see how you're at work in our midst, in the lives of those around us, and in the bigger picture of how you're at work in our communities, in our country, in our world. God, we thank you that we can testify of the things that you are doing, the things that you're teaching us, the things that you're showing us, the miracles that we are experiencing. God, you are good. And we thank you for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us as we finish our service with one more song?
We're going to sing a song here. It's called Today. And the words say, "Today I choose to follow you. Today I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose to follow you. And I pray that this would not just be a song that we say, but that it would be a cry of our hearts and a declaration that today we would really choose to walk in the ways that God is laying before us and in the things that he is pressing upon our hearts, and that in the week ahead, the conversations that we have with friends, family, and community, and maybe even, like Emily said, a complete stranger, and just trust and believe that he is continually guiding and leading us in our lives, even when we don't see how it's all playing out.
Today I choose to follow you. Today I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose.
Thank you for joining us today. As you go, would you introduce people to Jesus so they can experience fullness of life? And we need to pray for Albert. That's right. Albert had to go to hospital on Friday, I believe it was. It's in my phone. They went down to Rosebud, and Albert wasn't doing well, and Evelyn got a blown out tire on her way down as well. They made it in time for the show, but Albert was not acting normal. So they drove back to St. Albert to get some testing done. They ruled out stroke and anything medical that they could figure out. But Evelyn says he's not the same. And we, for those of you who don't know, Albert's dealing with like the onset of Alzheimer's. And last week, or the week before last week, he was standing in the back and he said, "Hey, where's my wife?" I saw she's sitting over in your guys' seats. And he looked at me and said, "I got Alzheimer's. I don't know where I sit." So they're on a journey. Evelyn, she texted me yesterday and said, I don't know what to think right now. And so we need to be praying for Evelyn and Albert as they walk through this journey together and as we support them as their church community. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we hold Albert to you right now. We don't know what's happening, and seemingly the doctors don't really know what's going on either at this time. But God, we just pray for answers. We pray for comfort for him. We pray for a renewing of his mind. Unexplainable renewing of his mind. God, we pray for Evelyn as she is walking this journey with Albert and trying to figure out what life looks like today. And we pray for their upcoming appointment that's coming, that as Evelyn documents the days leading up to that day, that it would bring clarity to what is happening with Albert, with his memory, with the Alzheimer's. And God, we just pray for safety for him in this time. And as we come around them and support them, God, would we have the words to say or just the shoulder to cry on, whatever it may be. But God, lead us and guide us in those dialogues with them. God, you are good. And we thank you for the influence that both Albert and Evelyn have played in this church over the years. God, you are at work in their lives. And so we pray for continued work as they walk this journey together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.